This is the Parental Alienation Speaks podcast. I'm Cheryl Mefford. In today's episode of Changing the Precedent of Parental Alienation, follow me to the Arkansas Court of Appeals, where I cover Sharp versus Keeler. In this precedential case, we'll hear if one mother's use of parental alienation tactics justified the trial court's decision to give sole custody of the minor child to the father. Sindall Sharp brings two issues for review before this court. Number one, did the trial court err in finding that she acted in a way that was to the detriment of her child? And was parental alienation a material change of circumstances warranting modification of its original custody decree and thereby granting custody to the father? Number two, was she only entitled to supervised visitation when there were no facts to support a finding that supervised visitation was in the child's best interest? Here are the facts in this case that led us to this point. On February 25th, 2005, the trial court initially awarded custody of little boy Corbin, 3 years old, to Sharp, with visitation by Keeler. The parties were never married in this case. In addition to the visitation schedule, the order contained numerous terms and conditions of visitation. Number one, neither party makes derogatory comments about the other in the presence of the child. Number two, Sharp would not text message Keeler while he was exercising visitation with the child. Number three, Sharp would cease leaving tacky notes for Keeler. Number four, Sharp was not to do anything to alienate the child from Keeler. Number five, Sharp was to have the son ready for visitation at the time visitation was to begin. Number six, Keeler has first right of refusal to watch the child. Number seven, Sharp notifies Keeler as soon as she was aware she needs a babysitter. Number eight, Sharp has Corbin ready for visitation at the time visitation was to begin. Number nine, both parties were to keep each other fully informed of his or her address, telephone number, and all known pertinent information regarding the child's health, education, and welfare. Number 10, Corbin's birth certificate was to be changed to reflect that his name was Corbin Michael Jonas Sharp Keeler. In September 2005, Keeler filed a 35-page document entitled Petition for Contempt Citation and Petition for Change of Custody, in which Keeler alleged that Sharp had continued to use the name Sharp instead of Keeler for Corbin, that she would not acknowledge Corbin Keeler, stating that that was not their son's name, and that Corbin's medical records indicated Sharp instead of Keeler. Keeler further alleged that Sharp had made derogatory remarks about him in front of Corbin, that Sharp had continued to text message and call him during his visitation, that Sharp had made him miss his Father's Day visitation, that Sharp had continued to leave him tacky notes, that Sharp had actively done things to alienate Keeler from Corbin, that Sharp had failed to have Corbin ready for visitation, that Sharp had denied Keeler visitation, and that Sharp had failed to keep Keeler updated on Corbin's medical conditions. During a two-day hearing, Keeler testified at length, stating he was happy when the trial judge initially set rules for a visitation because he thought it would be less stressful and that he would be able to babysit Corbin when Sharp could not be with him. However, Keeler testified that Sharp presented difficulties for him getting to see Corbin, that Corbin continued to use Sharp as Corbin's last name instead of Keeler, and that she told him that she does not know who Corbin Keeler is. For example, in an instant message that Keeler sent Sharp stating, "Tell Corbin Keeler that I love him," Sharp replied, "Keeler could only speak to his imaginary son because Keeler was not Corbin's name." Keeler stated that Corbin's account with Arkansas Kids First was under the name Corbin Sharp. Keeler also said that Sharp's mother continued to call him names like sissy and asshole in front of Corbin. Keeler testified that Sharp tried to give him a book on babysitting, which offended him because he was Corbin's father, not just his babysitter. He also recounted a time that Sharp wrote him a check for stop payment fees, and on it she wrote, sexual favors on the memo line. He also shared a time when Sharp left a note taped to Corbin's diaper, which he referred to as disturbing. He stated that he felt alienated from Corbin, and as examples, he shared that on one occasion, Sharp would not let him have visitation because Corbin was too sick. But then when he checked with the doctors, they told him that Corbin was not too sick. Sharp still would not use the last name Keeler for Corbin. She also acted like Keeler was not capable of taking care of Corbin. She would not let him go to Corbin's doctor visits, and if Corbin was napping when he came to pick him up for visitation, he was required to wait until Corbin woke up. But that rule did not apply if Sharp came to get Corbin at Keeler's. Sharp would also accuse him of causing Corbin to be constipated. Keeler recounts one occasion when he was picking Corbin up for visitation. Sharp told him that Corbin had an ear infection and needed to see the doctor. Keeler did not take him to the doctor because Corbin was not running a fever and seemed to be okay. Keeler testified that he called a doctor and found out the correct dosage of Tylenol for a child under 2 and gave him a small dose just to be safe. When Keeler returned Corbin to Sharp, he told her that he had given him Tylenol. He testified that Sharp began texting him, asking him how much Tylenol he had given Corbin. She finally text messaged him that she and Corbin were at the emergency room and that the doctors needed to know if they needed to pump Corbin's stomach. According to Keeler, he went to the emergency room but did not find Corbin or Sharp there. It turned out that Sharp had never taken Corbin to the emergency room, and she was home the entire time. Keeler testified that Sharp failed to keep him informed about Corbin's medical issues. He said he found out about Corbin's surgery to put ear tubes in his ears by reading Sharp's away message to friends on Yahoo Messenger. It said, "Everyone, thanks for all the prayers. Please continue to pray for Corbin during surgery. Leave a message." It was Keeler's testimony that his wife discovered that Corbin was having surgery at the ear, nose, and throat clinic. When Keeler arrived, the doctor told him that Sharp had said she did not want him back there with Corbin, and the doctor did not want him to make a scene. Keeler said he remained outside until the surgery was over, and then he went back. He said that Sharp ignored him at first, but then let him hold Corbin while she got her car. Keeler stated that on another occasion, Sharp began calling his sister, mother, and wife, and began asking about family disease history. Sharp sent Keeler an instant message that she needed to talk to him about Corbin's arm and that it was urgent. Keeler did not answer the message because he was not at the computer. Keeler said that when he finally reached her, Sharp would not tell him why she needed his family disease history and never mind because she had found it anyway. Keeler said that on September 22, 2005, he got a message from Sharp that he would not be able to have his visitation because she and Corbin were at the hospital. She did not tell him which hospital they were at. He finally found them at Arkansas Children's Hospital. When he spoke with Sharp next, she told him that Corbin had histiocytosis, a rare blood disease, and that he had to have a tumor removed from his arm. Keeler said he thought Sharp did not want him to come to Little Rock for the surgery, and that was why she did not tell him about it. He further stated that at first, Children's Hospital would not tell him anything about Corbin. Then they said they needed a code word before they could tell him anything. He said he had to beg Sharp for the code word before she would give it to him. And then the nurse would only give Keeler the information that Sharp would allow. Keeler stated that Corbin had to have chemotherapy treatments in Little Rock. And even though he offered, Sharp would not let him take Corbin to Little Rock by himself. Keeler, his wife, Sharp, and Corbin all made the trip together, and Keeler said that they all got along fine. He stated that everyone was getting along when Corbin began receiving treatments in Northwest Arkansas. But then at one treatment, Sharp got upset that Keeler's wife was also present at the treatment. Keeler said that the treatments were initially scheduled in Bentonville so that he could go to them, but that Sharp switched them to Fayetteville so that he couldn't go anymore. When he arrived at treatment in Fayetteville, Sharp told him in front of everyone in the waiting room that he could not go back with her when Corbin got his treatment because it was stressful to Corbin. Keeler said that he left because his feelings were hurt and he was embarrassed. He later asked Sharp if she would let him go back if he came to the next chemo appointment. She said
no,
so he did not bother going back. Keeler said that he would like to be able to go to the appointments, but he did not feel like he was welcome, and that was why he didn't go anymore. Keeler stated that he had tried to get Corbin's medical records, but that Sharp had still not signed a medical authorization. Keeler testified that he was denied visitation after the tubes were put in Corbin's ears. He said he was also denied visitation for a longer period of time after the surgery at Children's Hospital because Sharp said that Corbin was too clingy and could not be away from her. He testified that Sharp insisted on supervised visitations, which Keeler agreed to a couple of times. Keeler said that he believed there were times when Corbin was left with other people after his surgery at Children's Hospital, even though he was denied visitation. Keeler recounted a time where Sharp would not allow Keeler's mother to pick up Corbin, even though she was authorized to pick him up. Sharp emailed Keeler and said that she did not think it would be best for his mother to pick up Corbin because in the past, Corbin had been stressed after visiting Keeler's mom. Sharp also told Keeler that she did not think that his mother was capable of taking care of a child undergoing chemotherapy. Keeler said that on February 18, 2006, he and his wife went to pick up Corbin for visitation. Sharp heard Keeler's wife cough while standing outside in the cold, and Sharp denied visitation because she thought Keeler's wife was sick. He also said that on numerous occasions, Sharp did not have Corbin ready for visitation when he arrived and that he had to wait for Sharp to get him ready. Keeler said that he does not get to make up any visitation time he misses when he has to wait on Sharp to get Corbin ready. Keeler stated that Sharp refused to allow his wife to pick up Corbin, even though she was authorized to do so. According to Keeler, he told Sharp that his wife was authorized to pick up Corbin. Sharp told him that she did not care what the order said. Keeler complained that Sharp would not give him the first right to babysit. He said that Sharp told him that her mother was not considered a babysitter because she was family. Keeler said that he thought Sharp was saying to him that her family got the first option to babysit Corbin instead of him. Keeler said that he asked several times to babysit while Sharp was at work, and that she told him that she needed at least 48 hours notice if he wanted Corbin. He said she told him that a babysitter was a paid person, not family. While Keeler admitted that Sharp occasionally allowed him to have extra visitation, he said that he did not know if she ever allowed him to babysit while she was working. Keeler testified that he received a call from DHS because he had been accused of mistreating Corbin. However, that accusation was determined to be unfounded. Keeler stated that he also had problems getting his midweek visitation. He said that his understanding was that if he could not have visitation on Wednesday, that he got Thursdays. He said that Sharp now said that visitation should only be on Thursdays, even if there was a conflict. Keeler said that he had not freely been given Corbin's medical information and that Sharp sent him a message threatening to withhold all information about Corbin's life if Keeler continued to, quote, loathe Corbin's mommy, end quote. Keeler said that he had to work on Corbin's birthday during his scheduled visitation time and that Sharp told him that she was not obligated to change her schedule to accommodate him. Keeler said that he did not believe he had been treated fairly by Sharp over the last year with regard to Corbin, and that he had learned how a non-custodial parent should be treated. Keeler stated that he knew how important it was for Corbin to be with Sharp and how important visitation is. He said if he received custody, he would not treat her the way she has treated him. Jennifer Keeler, Keeler's wife, testified about the times she had tried to pick up Corbin and Sharp would not allow her to do so. Jennifer said that after she tried twice to pick up Corbin without being allowed to do so, she did not try to pick him up for visitation anymore. Jennifer said that she and Sharp were getting along until she came to one of Corbin's chemo appointments, at which time Sharp became very upset. Jennifer said that she was never really sure with which Sharp she was going to talk. Sharp also testified at length. She testified that there were different times that she did not follow the court order because she did not believe that it was what the trial court had ordered and she did not think it was a valid order. She said that other times she did not follow the order, she was concerned about Corbin's safety. She stated that there was a period of time after Corbin's biopsy that she did not allow unsupervised visitation because Corbin had had a difficult time at the hospital. Sharp said that Keeler had not made her feel safe about Corbin being with him and that she had tried to give him information about Corbin's health problems and food allergies, but that Keeler always treated her like she was overreacting. Sharp said that she was nervous at first because she was a new mom, and then Keeler had refused to tell her what and how much medication he had given Corbin. Sharp also said that Keeler took Corbin into public when Corbin was sick and that he did not feed him properly. In addition, Sharp complained that Keeler had failed to properly clean Corbin after he had bowel movements. Sharp stated that she had a lot of trouble getting Keeler to administer Corbin's medication, and that was her basis for not allowing unsupervised visitation. She admitted that she had told Keeler that she had taken Corbin to the emergency room, and she said that she thought if Keeler believed it was an emergency, he would tell her how much Tylenol he had given Corbin. Sharp said that she had tried to tell Keeler about Corbin's ear surgery, but that Keeler kept hanging up on her. She also said that she tried to tell him about the surgery at Children's Hospital, but that he hung up on her again. So she quit trying. Sharp testified that she felt physically threatened by Jennifer Keeler because she followed her after Sharp would not let her take Corbin. Sharp said that she was driving Corbin to Keeler's house so that he could have his visitation and that Jennifer followed her extremely closely and that it did not seem to her that Jennifer was thinking of Corbin's safety at all. Sharp said that she changed chemo treatments to Fayetteville because Corbin's nurse transferred to Fayetteville. She said that it was an issue of convenience and that it was not to deliberately keep Keeler from attending the treatments. Sharp stated that it was her understanding of the order that if she had special dates or appointments that she was supposed to call Keeler to watch Corbin. She said that it seemed disruptive to require Corbin to get up from a nap so that Keeler could watch him. She also said that she did not feel like Corbin was being babysat when he had special play dates with her mother or Sharp's brother. She further explained that she did not contact Keeler if she went into work after Corbin was asleep because her sisters were at home. Sharp testified that when she wrote sexual favors on the check memo line, she was just joking. She denied knowing why Corbin's medication was labeled Sharp instead of Sharp Keeler. In response to her message to Keeler about loathing Corbin's mommy, she said that she was just saying that Keeler's hatred of her would get in the way of his relationship with Corbin. Sharp also claimed that Keeler had free access to any of Corbin's medical records. She testified that the times she denied unsupervised visitation, she did so out of concern for Corbin's safety, health, and mental health. With respect to Corbin's stay at Children's Hospital, Sharp denied that she instructed the nurse not to release any information to Keeler. She said that as soon as she knew Corbin's diagnosis, she called Keeler and told him. She said that she did not tell any of Keeler's family about the diagnosis because she thought it would be best to calmly explain things to Keeler. At the close of the hearing, the trial court changed custody to Keeler. In a lengthy ruling from the bench, the court first took issue with Sharp's testimony that she did not believe that the initial court order was a valid court order, stating that it was a valid order until the trial court vacated it. The trial court also noted that Sharp wanted her cake and wanted to eat it too, stating that while Sharp did not want to follow the order, she certainly wanted Keeler to be bound by it. The trial court read the initial order out loud in open court and then reminded everyone that the court had specifically admonished Sharp to promote the bond and relationship between Corbin and Keeler, but that the court had heard that day that things were worse than they were previously. As an example, the trial court cited the many instances where Sharp continued to send Keeler, quote, tacky little emails. The trial court addressed the fact that Sharp sent Keeler notes about Corbin's food taped to Corbin's diaper, and notes in which Sharp had stated that with a little, quote, guidance, Keeler could be a better father. The court questioned how Keeler could get any information from Corbin's doctors when Sharp refused to sign a medical release and continued to instruct nurses not to give Keeler any medical information. The court noted that all of that behavior was to the detriment of the child. The trial court addressed the Tylenol incident, noting that Keeler and his wife called a medical professional to find out the correct dose of Tylenol to give Corbin, and then only gave him one half of that amount to be on the safe side. That Corbin was doing fine and not running a fever, but that Sharp threw a, quote, hissy fit because Keeler did not take Corbin to the doctor. The court then contrasted that incident with the one where Corbin was running a fever while in Sharp's custody, but Sharp did not take him to the doctor because she could maintain his fever at home and he was not getting worse. Addressing the visitation after the biopsy incident, the trial court stated that it understood Sharp's concern for Corbin after the biopsy, but it found that there was no testimony to show that Keeler was unfit and could not take care of Corbin during that time. The court further noted that Keeler's visitation was only for the day, that it was not like Keeler was going to have him for an extended period of time. The trial court addressed the issue of Sharp failing to let Keeler babysit Corbin and allowing her mother, brother, or sister to do so instead. The court reaffirmed that its order did not say to let Keeler babysit only when Sharp thought it was okay, or when Corbin would not miss a nap, or only when Corbin was awake, but that Keeler was to have the first right to take care of his child when Sharp could not do so. The court found it, quote, ludicrous that Sharp did not consider her family to be babysitters, but considered Keeler to be a babysitter, and that she provided him with a babysitter's guide, which undercut the father-son relationship and evidenced Sharp's attempts to undermine Keeler's relationship with Corbin, even after being ordered by the court not to do so. The trial court held Sharp in contempt for failing to allow Keeler to babysit and sentenced Sharp to 2 days in jail, but suspended it on the condition that Sharp follow court orders. The trial court also addressed the issue of Sharp failing to have Corbin ready for visitation and the fact that Keeler was required to wait for Corbin to wake up if he was asleep when Keeler arrived to pick him up for visitation, but that Sharp did not wait if she was picking Corbin up from Keeler and Corbin was asleep. The court stated that it was as if Keeler played by Sharp's rules or did not get to play at all. The trial court also addressed the issue of Keeler learning that his son was having surgery from a text message sent out by Sharp on her messenger, but that Sharp did not inform Keeler that Corbin was having surgery. The court told Sharp that her email did not take care of letting Keeler know about a surgery ahead of time. That an email that just says to pray for Corbin was, quote, evil. And that it was no wonder that Keeler was irritated when he finally tracked down where the surgery was taking place and was then told by the doctor not to make a scene because he did not know what was going on with his son. The court found that Sharp was clearly not advising Keeler of medical procedures and information, that she did not let him get medical information, and that she then told him that he could not be a good father because he did not know the medical information. The court also found that Sharp emailed Keeler that she was at the emergency room with Corbin when in fact she was not, so that Sharp could, quote, teach Keeler a lesson, and that Sharp continued to refuse to keep Keeler updated on medical information with regard to Corbin's biopsy on his arm, leaving only a, quote, little message that there was something wrong, but not giving Keeler the whole picture. In the trial court's words, it found that Sharp was playing, quote, evil games against Keeler, that her actions were detrimental to her child, that she was terrorizing and harassing Keeler to the detriment of Corbin, and that Sharp, in the whole spirit of co-parenting, rated, quote, zero. The court found that Corbin should have had both his parents at the hospital, but that due to his mother's actions, his father was not there. The court also found that Corbin should have had both parents at his chemo treatments, but because Sharp decided that she would not let Keeler come back for the treatment, Corbin, to his detriment, was again denied his father's presence. The trial court also found that Sharp was in contempt of court for failing to allow Keeler to exercise his court-ordered visitation, finding that Sharp's stated reason of having concerns about Keeler's care of Corbin after the medical procedures was, quote, bogus, and, quote, an extension of this problem that Sharp has with undermining Keeler's relationship with his son. Accordingly, in addition to the 2 days in jail that the trial court ordered for Sharp failing to allow Keeler the first right to babysit, the trial court ordered an additional 2 days in jail for Sharp's failure to allow visitation, but again suspended it on the condition that Sharp follow court orders. The trial court held that Sharp had continued to damage Keeler's relationship with Corbin and had tried to prevent them from having a healthy bond, picking and choosing what part of the court orders she would follow to the detriment of her son. It held that Sharp denied visitation for no reason, played, quote, mind games with Keeler regarding Corbin's medical procedures, and failed to advise Keeler of any medical information and procedures. The court further found a lot of Sharp's testimony to be, quote, incredulous and untruthful. Based upon the testimony, the court found that there had been a material change in circumstances since the last hearing and that it was in Corbin's best interest for custody to be changed from Sharp to Keeler. The court noted that removing Corbin from the home that he had known since birth was not something the court did lightly, but that Sharp had been failing Corbin miserably and that Sharp was unfit to be the custodial parent. The trial court further ordered that Sharp undergo a mental health examination and also ordered that Sharp have supervised visitation. This concludes the facts in this case that led Sindall Sharp to bring this case in front of the Arkansas Court of Appeals. On May 9, 2007, Sindall Sharp brought this case before the Arkansas Court of Appeals, with Judge David M. Glover presiding.
Sindall Sharp brings two issues for review before this court. Number one, did the trial court err in finding that she acted in a way that was to the detriment of her child? And was parental alienation a material change of circumstances warranting modification of its original custody decree and thereby granting custody to the father?
According to the Arkansas Court of Appeals, they found no error in the trial court's decision to change custody from Sharp to Keeler and stated that the record is, quote, replete with Sharp's attempts to alienate Keeler from his son. Therefore, the Arkansas Court of Appeals upheld the trial court's decision
to give full custody to Keeler.
Number two, was she only entitled to supervised visitation when there were no facts to support a finding that supervised visitation was in the child's best interest?
Upon submission of her psychological evaluation, the Arkansas Court of Appeals found no reason why Sindall Sharp should have to maintain supervised visitation and therefore did not uphold the trial court's decision. This concludes our journey to the Arkansas Court of Appeals. I'm Cheryl Mefford.
If you found this information helpful, please like and subscribe to my channel and go to parentalalienationspeaks.com to learn more about our story.
I'm Cheryl Mefford, and I'm fighting for childhoods.